I have a message on my heart that I've had for a little while. I actually woke up one morning, and I don't know how many of you might have looked in Brother Michael's paper here, but he has a little drawing in there that when I looked at it, I saw it. It just had an impact on my very mind and spirit, and I looked at it and allowed some thoughts to come into my mind concerning it, and then one morning the Lord awakened me and gave me this message, which I have drawn something, and I wasn't quite sure, Lord, do I hand the papers out during the message or do I wait till the end? And there's a lot in this. So I'm going to ask Trenton and Nolan to pass these out. This is, in reality, the whole foundation of the plan of God, of the Word of God. It's the bottom line. It's not going to be new to us. Everything on it is familiar. I feel like that the Lord is desiring that we be reminded. Yes. And that it, as Brother Dan said this morning, maybe in his prayer, he said, we can get so busy with the cares of life that we sometimes don't think about eternity. And eternity is real. We are only familiar with time side of eternity. We relate only to time. We have months. We have our calendars. How many have noticed how quickly time is going by? You look at your calendar and you think, we're already this far into February 2021. How quickly did last year pass? Well, I'm believing and experiencing, and maybe because of my age, they say the older you get, the faster time goes. Time is flying. But I also remember hearing that Brother Austis Wilson made statements like this, that the closer we get to eternity, faster time will go. And he likened it to a waterfall. And if you've ever been to Niagara Falls, you probably could relate even more so, that the closer that water gets to the fall, the faster it goes. I have been to Niagara Falls. It can be fascinating and it can be terrorizing. We were walking along beside the river that was going down to the falls, and there was a man, two men, cleaning around the bank. And they, one stood up here with a rope holding on to the man that was picking up trash around the riverbank. There was a reason for that. If he should fall into the river at that point, he would probably not be saved. Yet they told us of an experience that happened maybe a few weeks before we were there, of a young girl that did fall into the river, more up the river, but she could not recover herself. And some of the men that worked there ran down the bank. I've got chills telling this. They went out into the water and saved her by the hair of her head. But you see, we're in a time almost like that too. Time's rushing to eternity. and you and I are eternity-bound souls. That's what the Bible is all about. That's what Jesus Christ was all about. Giving a plan for mankind, all of mankind, to be saved, to have eternal life in heaven, to not spend their eternity. You see, you can't spend it. It's something that never ends in hell. A message on hell is not popular. I believe that when I was growing up, we heard many more messages concerning hell than we do today. But the Lord has inspired this, and I want us to not look at it as a negative. Let's look at it as a positive this morning. I struggled a little bit. I battled in my mind a little bit with the thought, you know, that's very negative. Nobody likes to hear about hell. People want to hear about heaven. So I had a little struggle within myself. I wanted to know definitely this was the will of the Lord, the mind of Christ. It was what the Holy Spirit was wanting for this morning. And I believe that it can be a positive for all of us here in one way or another. Hopefully by the end, we will see a positive in it all. In our little chart here, I have, as the Lord brought scriptures to my mind to put it together, I wrote them down. We probably will not use all of these scriptures. I hope that you can take the chart home with you and maybe use it in your private devotions. Do a little Bible study, because there's not, I haven't put down all of the scriptures. But you can study and you can find many more scriptures that will verify or witness what has been put down here. Peter wrote in 2 Peter, I believe, he said, I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And then he said, I also want to remind you the words of the holy prophets. Well, what we're going to give today should be something that will stir up our minds, and it should bring back to our minds what the holy prophets have put in the Word of God. We know that, and there's a scripture up here above the where it says eternity, it says heaven. Well, it's not talking about the heaven that you and I are hoping to gain, but it's the sky. Heavens, the heavens and the earth will pass away. Amen. But his word will not pass away. It will be there at the judgment. It will be there for every generation, whatever, however long, however much time it takes for the Lord to say it is enough, whatever generation comes, whatever generation leaves here, you know, my generation is on its way out. I'm of the older generation now, so I don't have as much time left in this time world that all of you may have, most of you, young people. But yet, the word of the Lord is going to stand true for every generation. So, we have here, we started out, and it, two ways. There are only two ways in this time world. You may say, well, I don't choose the broad way, but I don't choose the narrow way. You are choosing. You're making a choice, because there isn't a third way. Amen. there isn't some way down the middle. And the scripture tells us, broad is the way that leads to where? Destruction. It says many. We could more than emphasize the word many. Many, many, many are going in thereat.
Amen.
And then we have on the right, and we also see where that way leads. I've tried to make a little picture there of showing hell. And on the right, we have the narrow way, the straight way, and it leads to life. It leads to eternal life. And everyone that chooses that way and stays on that way will experience eternity in the greatest happiness, joy. We have in part of our little diagrams here, our little, we said, gave some scriptures that it says in Revelations what is not going to be there. Over on the right-hand side, you'll find that in Revelations 21 and 4, in four of those is listed in that one verse. It says there's no sorrow, there's no crying, there's no tears in heaven. How many of you have shed tears out of sorrow or grief or disappointment or hurts or wounds or whatever? We as human beings have an emotion and we shed tears. And in reality, it's healthy. Tears, God knows your tears. He even, one scripture says he bottles up your tears. So he understands your tears. He understands why you cry. He is fully aware. But sometimes those tears are for something that is so hard and sad, you can hardly bear it in this life. But over there, you will not have anything that will bring crying and sorrow and tears and pain. And there will be no curse. There will be no night. There will be no death. See, you've got both here to consider this morning. You've got the direction of making the choice of the broad way, or you've got a choice to make the straight and narrow way. And you can experience the blessings of all eternity, being in the presence of God. And so many, you know, children don't understand really about heaven. And I tried to say something to my little great-grandsons the other day about preferring Christ. Oh, well, I want my toy. You know, that's what they're focusing on. I want to buy this toy. Well, can you put Christ ahead of your toy? Well, I sure enjoy my toy. You know, that is how humanity might be. They get so focused on time and life, desires here in this world, that they don't really have that vision that God is wanting us to have of heaven. And the enemy tries to block our minds that we not have a vision of hell. It's very hard for you and me to comprehend the horribleness of hell. Our humanity can't grasp it. But do you know there is more in the Bible about hell than there is heaven? There's more descriptive words and verses that tell us about hell. And even as we read it, we may feel in ourselves a pullback. Oh, that's so bad. I don't want to think on that. But we need to be aware. There's two places in eternity. There's two ways in life, two highways. There's two masters, and we make a choice of one or the other. You can't be neutral You can't be a straddle the fence.
That's true.
You have to make a decision, a choice. And we're making choices every day. I want to give you this scripture, which is on our chart. It's in the right-hand side of the straight and narrow way. It says, "An highway shall be there, and a way." It's called the way of holiness. God has provided a way. He does not leave mankind without a way. He's provided the way to eternal life. That scripture is found in Isaiah 35 and 8. And I've tried to put all of the scriptures in the verses that I've put on the paper here. I think it'll be good for it because I can't write the whole verse. It'll be good for you to look these up and read the entire verses. Read them all. So this is the highway of holiness. And you and I have to choose holiness to have eternal life. It's offered unto us. And we have here, "I set before you this day," a familiar scripture that you've heard quoted here in this chapel more times than we could count. "I've set life and death." Choose life. We have the other scripture there. "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And we put the cross there, see? That represents something. It represents what Christ, the price he paid for you and me to have eternal life. And I can accept his plan. I can plead the blood. I can repent of my sins. He will wash me free of my sins. He will make me a child of God. And I can have life with him. And oh, what a day. And what a day that will be, the song says. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And you've heard me say this when our daughter died 40 years ago. And I said for a long time, and God allowed me to say it, "Oh, I want to go to heaven that I can see Jan." And God allowed me to say that. But one day, he said, "Jan did not die for you, but Jesus did." And from that time on, my desire is to see Jesus face to face. And even when Lorne passed 8 months ago, some might think, well, and they said it to me, "Oh, just think, he has seen Jan now." And I said, "No, he has seen Jesus face to face." So don't get it in our minds that we want to see all of our loved ones. There'll be time enough, eternity, to see your loved ones. But get it in your heart what Jesus did for you to make it possible for you to be in heaven with him. Thank the Lord. As we look over this, I've got some statistics I want to give to you because I think it will sort of make this Broadway a little bit more real. It's very hard for you and me to fathom eternity. And I read this somewhere. Somebody wrote this that really grabbed hold of my mind. And I hope that it will have an effect on you as well. They're trying to convey how long eternity is. And it said, 1 second. How long is 1 second? It's such a short moment of time, we can hardly measure it unless we're looking at a clock and we'll see 1 second. How many seconds has it taken me to even say 1 second? 1 second of eternity is 511 quintillion years. I'm going to say it again. 1 second. And if we think of 2 seconds, would it double that? There is no end of eternity. And our humanity can't even fathom 1 second representing 1,000 years or 100 years. 1 second. But the writer here tried to make it a number that you and I might grasp something of how long eternity is. 511 quintillion years. Does that say something to you about eternity? So, I have some other statistics I want to insert in the little message this morning to grab our minds a little bit. I want us to consider the population of the world at the present time. The most current census, if you will, or population of this world is 7.8 billion people is on the earth. That's the most current. It gives the mortality rate. I'm saying this for us to understand this Broadway. Because the majority of this world is on the Broadway going to destruction. The mortality rate prior to COVID, 65 million people a year worldwide die. 65 million. That equals 178,000 each day. 178,000 people go out into eternity in one day. It is 7,425 per hour. So we've been here in our service this morning since about 9:45. It's going on 11:45, 2 hours. So in the time we have been in our service here, about 14,500 has gone out into eternity. And you break it down to 1 minute, 60 seconds. You know how many that is? 120 people go out into eternity every minute. Does that grab your thoughts of how frail man is and where they are going and where you are going? You're going to be part of that number someday because the Bible says that it's appointed unto man to die. We have an appointment. And so you and I are just, we haven't got there yet, but we're going to. We're going to be a part of that number. Well, I find these very shocking numbers, and yet they're very real. I want to bring to your mind the upper right, left-hand corner of the scripture that I have there, Isaiah 5 and 14, the upper left-hand corner. What does the word of the Lord say about hell? It says that hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. That's just the basic core of that verse, but it should let us know God, really, I don't believe God intended for hell to be as large as what it is. He put it in His Word, the warnings, what the Broadway, where it led to destruction. He put it in his word where the narrow way would lead to life, but he leaves it in the hands of each one of us to make the choice. And it brought then to my mind, right under the flames of hell, Psalm 399 in our book has this phrase in it. The title of the song is Lost Forever. And this phrase says, you will remember you have chosen to be there. Nobody forces you to go to heaven. Nobody forces you to go to hell. We make our choice. I want us to be strongly impressed that if you end in hell, you chose to be there. There are people that say, oh, God is too good. God will not send anyone to hell. He doesn't. Amen. He's made a way for you to escape. He's made a way for me to escape. And it's my choice. So therefore, if I end in hell, I chose it. Somewhere along the way. Let me see now. I want to talk about mercy. You know, we all like to talk about mercy. We love to think about mercy. We love to think about compassions. We love to read the verses that tell us about God's mercy. We love to also meditate on the compassion of God. Oh, he is so good. How many times have we in this little congregation testified to the goodness of the Lord? We'll use those words in our testimonies. Oh, God is so good. He is good. He is so good. And how many times have we, as we're giving our testimonies and somebody will start singing, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And then we sing, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He's so good to me. That's the kind of God we're serving. But we have to serve him. We have to choose him. We have to take his way. We have to take up our cross daily and follow him. And he says if we do, he'll give us grace. He'll give us power that we can overcome our flesh. We can overcome sin. We can overcome temptation. He has the power to keep us. Thank the Lord. So let's talk a little bit. Let's read a scripture on mercy. This one is right under the line that divided time and eternity. It is the Lord's mercies. We are not consumed. Children of Israel, when they were brought out of Egypt, they were not a full month delivered out of the hand of Pharaoh, and they were murmuring and complaining and wishing to be back in Egypt. Did God send them back to Egypt just because they murmured? And he didn't. He was still having mercy. He had compassion. He was long-suffering. We must not presume upon God's goodness. We must not presume upon his, well, he'll have mercy on me if I do that. That's presumptuous. And that's even called a sin. That's called a sin of presumptuous. We must avail ourselves of His mercy and remember that when we deserved to be punished, He didn't cut us off. So it was the Lord's mercies that we were not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. How many mornings have there been in all of time? How many thousands of years has it been since recorded time started? Recorded time started in the garden. So we're looking at how many thousand years?
Six.
How many?
Six.
Six. Over now. Over 6,000 years. And God's mercy was new every morning. And if you multiplied that times the days per year, you would find out how many mornings His mercy was new. Did you know that'd probably pay you to know that? But then, what about you? How old are you? How many years have you lived? How many mornings did God have mercy on you? Have compassion. He didn't consume you. Well, I'm 75, so I'll use my age. I'll soon be 76, but it's not going to be an accurate number. But 75 times 365. God has been merciful to me 27,375 mornings of my life. Plus, longer than that now. You know, we need to appreciate the mercy of the Lord and the compassions. I remember the Lord giving this to me. I was asked to preach a funeral of someone that had been in our family. There wasn't a lot of good things I could say about this person. They had lived a very selfish and wicked life, self-centered. But the children wanted Lorne and me to do the funeral. I did not know what I would say. I didn't know what could be said. But the Lord gave this to me. He was 80. So he had 29,200 mornings that God was merciful to him. Reached out to him. You know, we had a message not long ago about his arms are stretched out still. God's arms are stretched out still this morning to every soul on the face of the earth. He's offering them eternal life. I didn't preach this person into hell, nor did I preach them into heaven. I looked at the mercy of God. God was merciful, and He is. To every soul that is on the Broadway today, God's mercy is being extended to them. And so when I hear individuals say things like this, "Oh, I don't want the Lord to come. I still have loved ones that aren't saved." I challenge you to count up the mornings that God's showing them mercy. We must always carry a burden for the people on the Broadway. Yes. And I'm hoping that with this message that we will be revived or renewed in praying for the lost. I think that we need to be caring. I don't want to see anyone lost. I don't want anyone to go to hell. And I don't believe anyone here wants that either. So we need to understand that God will not owe anybody anything. because he will have done all he could for every soul. For the, the 65 million people in the world that will die this year, he will have done all he could. And that was his mercy, his compassions that were new every morning and offered. I looked this up, just the phrase, his mercy endureth forever. I put it down here, 59 times it's in the Bible. His mercy endureth forever. So we get a picture of the faith, and remember the scripture? Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. That's his mercy. Yes. Thank the Lord. Well, I think that we need to also consider a few of the verses of what it says to those that are on the broad way of destruction. Revelations 20 and 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is a book of life. When you come to Christ, when you submit your life, you repent of your sins, and the blood of Jesus covers those sins. And remember, he says he remembers it no more. He casts your sins as far as the east is from the west, and he doesn't charge you with them ever again. All of those sins that happened up to that point of repentance, God forgets. You and I remember. We may remember even what we have seen in others. But God forgets. And what does he do then? He writes the name down in the book of life. And this is over in Revelations. There is a book of life. And your name must be in the book of life to enter heaven. He says in Matthew 25 and 34, he says, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. And as we read that, we go to John 14 and part of verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I didn't put all of it down. There wasn't room, but it goes on and it says, I go to prepare a place for you. Yes. Oh, we can't even imagine the glories of heaven. Yes. We haven't been there. We haven't had a bird's eye view. But I remember Sister Sherry Rich preaching a message at Monarch, and she told in her message of a dream that she had. She could not see past the gates, but she was in her dream. She was at the gates of heaven. But there were other people coming up and entering in. And as the gate was opened, this was the sound and the expression. She couldn't see in, but they saw something. Oh, I want to tell you, he's been preparing for us a long time. I don't know what kind of mansions there are. I don't understand if it's really streets of gold. Those are human words for this time world. But I can assure you it'll be something greater than you and I have ever dreamed of. It will be worth everything that we go through down here. It'll be worth all of the trouble and the sorrow and the grief and the tears and the pain and the suffering. It will be worth it all. And when you're suffering, think about the scripture. If ye suffer with me, ye shall also reign with me. Suffering is not in vain. Suffering is doing something. It's purging and purifying and cleansing us. It's like the in Sunday school, I think it was brought out about the purging of gold and refining. And it's refining something in us when you and I have our problems in life, our hurts, whatever you want to put in there. It's doing something to purge us, and that His reflection might be in us, that we might be able to appear as He is. Thank the Lord. And He's doing it for our good. He's never allowing anything to be more than we can bear. He's making a way for us to escape. If we will believe that and trust in it, we can quote the scripture. Do you quote the scripture when you're in a battle? God's promised not to give me more than I'm able to bear. He will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. Hide His words in your heart that you won't sin against God, that it will strengthen you and it will help you to make it through. Thank the Lord. So, I've got to give you this scripture, because no one, not one soul, is going to get off of this Broadway and slip into heaven without taking the right way. And I'm going to give this to you. This is 2 Timothy 2:19. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. He knows everyone. And we have a song that says, sin cannot enter there. Yes. Yeah. You look at some obituaries. We don't take the paper anymore, but down through 50 plus years, Lorne took the Oklahoman. And he always turned to the obituaries about first. And I have read some obituaries that were absolutely shocking and an abomination. It didn't matter how this person lived, and they told it. They made heaven. Unless that person repented before they left this time world, they are in hell, according to the word of God. I didn't say that. It's the word of the Lord. It says that these shall all go away into everlasting punishment. This is Matthew 25:46. But I capitalized the next phrases. But the righteous, they're going to go into life eternal. Now we have some scriptures. Matthew 18:3, it says, except ye be converted, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, that's not our doctrine. That's not just our belief or our teaching. It says it in the Word of God. Amen. So we must be converted, because that's the plan that He has offered unto us. To give us just a little view of hell, Revelation 14:11. It says, the smoke of their torments ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. You know, you and I have to have rest here. God created the whole world to require rest, including nature itself. He gives a period of time that the sun is shining, and he gives a period of time when it is dark, and it is for the purpose of rest to the world, to the earth, and to people. And people without sleep, it takes a great toll on the body, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We need rest. And he offers a spiritual rest to the people of God. He says there is a rest to the people of God. It is through Christ. But he also requires a rest to the physical body. After a while, you go without sleep a certain length of time and you crash. People calls it that. They crash. And they might sleep for 17 hours. It's required. But this says there is no rest in hell. I cannot fathom that. I remember reading a story, and it was supposed to be true. It's an old story. I was so impressed with it, I typed it all out. But it was in an antiquated vocabulary because it was a very old story. Horse and buggy, that was probably in the 1800s. And there was this young man that he got in with some friends that were a bad influence in his life. And one day, he was on his horse. And his horse stumbled, knocked him off. He hit his head on a rock. And he went to hell. He came back and reported it because he was given another chance. And the one thing that he said, and the title of this is, "There is no rest in hell." And what he saw there were people that were continually doing the thing that they chose to do in life. If it were dancing, they could not quit dancing. It was whatever that they chose in life that was the sin, they would not give up. And it reverberated throughout hell, the echo. There is no rest in hell. And he came back and reported that. Now God was giving him a second chance. And he had 1 year to prove himself. He changed his life. He lived a good life. He did everything he could to not be under the influence of his ungodly friends. And a short time before that year, his friends were determined to make him fall. And they did. And he died then, the day 1 year later. That's a terrible report, but it was supposed to have been a true story. The scripture simply says there's not going to be any rest. You can be tired of whatever you're doing, but you'll be doing it for that 11 quintillion years per second. You know, some people say, well, I don't think you ought to scare people into it. I don't think so either. I think that just giving the facts might help every one of us make the right choice. So I'm just giving you facts. The scripture says about hell, it says, "Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, Mark 9. It's in three verses in that same chapter, 44, 46, and 48. And then it says also, Matthew 24, verse 50 and 51, portions of that. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you know what? That phrase in itself, I cannot tell you how many times is in the Bible. That there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell. So God wanted us to understand a little bit of what we're choosing. I believe that he has given us enough about heaven that we know it's good. And he's given us enough about hell that we know it's bad. And he's saying, I set before you this day, life and death. Choose life. Well, I said I wanted this to be a positive message. And we could, I'm going to give it to you for you to study. Luke 16, 19 through 31. Read it in your devotion sometime of the rich man and Lazarus. Read it because the world wants to say that it was not real. The world wants to say it was just a story or a parable. But if you begin the reading there, Jesus himself said there was a certain rich man. He did not, when Jesus gave parables, he would say, I'm giving you a parable. But he didn't on that one. So read it and let it sink down into your hearts, because that's one of the evidences of what hell is like. That man was thirsty. That man desired that Lazarus would come and just dip his finger in the water and give him one drip. Okay, what is the purpose of the message? I believe the purpose of the message was to awaken us out of sleep. Not physical sleep, spiritual sleep. Because Jesus said in a parable that there were five wise and five foolish. They were all virgins and they were all pure and saved. Five of them took oil with them. Five of them allowed their oil to drain out. But it said they all slumbered and slept before the coming of the Lord. You and I can fall into slumber and sleeping very easily spiritually because of the time we're living in. The pressures of life, the wickedness of this world, the darkness of this world. We're living in a dark time. Oh, we have lights and it's light out there, but there is a darkness that is prevailing the very atmosphere of our time. So I believe that the Lord is desiring the message to awaken us and to remember you are an eternity-bound soul. You need to remember, number two, there is a narrow way that leads to life. It's a restricted way. I'm not going to tell you otherwise. God does have a restricted way. Don't reject it. Reach out and embrace it and love it. When you love something, it's easy to do. And then, as I mentioned a little bit ago, I was hoping that the very picture of these two ways would cause us to carry a greater burden for our loved ones, for those that we come in contact with, for the world. When I pray, I usually insert this in my prayers. Lord, save everyone that will be saved. Yes. Everyone that has an honest heart, reach out to them. God knows. And then the last one is we must be aware of His coming. Live like He is coming today. Don't take a chance. Don't live haphazardly. Don't live loosely. Don't live carelessly. Be sensitive to the narrow way. That's our little message this morning. May we all be stirred in our spirits and in our minds, and may we take it home and do some personal Bible studies yourself, because we haven't given you everything. Pray for me. I want to be faithful.